Let's go ahead and raise your hands up in the air, or you can be like Brother Greg Woodcock and just stay standing. Either one of them will do, right? All right. We've got some weather. It was supposed to come through early this morning. I think we kind of pretty much dodged that and had some winds, but I think we dodged that one. But I think some bad weather is supposed to be coming in Friday, is the last I read anyway, Friday, so be careful about that. That may affect our outdoor work that's scheduled for this Saturday, and then rain, I think, is even scheduled Saturday. We will go ahead and try to do the inside cleaning regardless of what we do outside. We'll go ahead and try to knock that out in here and do some spring cleaning, get everything ready to go for Easter and spiffy everything up a little bit, and we appreciate your help with that. And we'll just have to kind of play it by ear. We'll go ahead and get the plants. We have to do, probably less than 20 replants, you know, of shrubs and things like that. And so we'll probably go ahead and get everything, and we'll see what we can get in, you know, along the way. So we'll just have to make the best of it, right? That's what we always have to do anyway, and work that all in. So Brother Paul, Miss Cindy wrote me and said that Paul came down, took him to one of these medical facilities, and he asked the flu. And I said, well, all right. So got him to go anyway, and got him to go this time before it was too bad. And I said, we stubborn men. And she said, amen to that, you know. So that's probably true. That's probably true. But tonight I'd like to ask you to go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Pray for Miss Sydney. Miss Sydney, of course, had a birthday Monday, and she left today. And she went up to Michigan, spent a few days with her mom and dad. And I think she'll be back on Saturday night, I believe is what Brother Gabe said. And so pray she has a good time, and hopefully she doesn't get caught in any of that bad weather as it makes its way up north. You know, it seems like to me most people on the planet are taking a detour that will not quench their spiritual thirst. All right? I mean, if you go to the wrong well, you're going to still end up thirsty at the end of the day. Now, you may be deceived in the short run to thinking there's water here, but in the long run, you're going to be found still thirsting. And that would account for billions, if you would, of Muslims, of course, if you listen to the encyclopedias, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the cults like the Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, we call them JWs, as well as those who claim to be Christian but are not. They're still going to end up at a dry well. And it is still true that most Americans identify with Christianity. Now, I'm not going to say that most Americans are Christian. I don't think that's the case. I even wonder if we're yet a Christian nation. You can make the case, you can make the case not. Either way, really, it just depends on how you slice the pie. Yet, it is important that we as Christians have the Lord Jesus Christ as the shepherd of our souls. We must have, I remember talking to Brother Garrett about that, and matter of fact, I'll probably try to give you an update on him. But it's vitally important that we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot have this sterile environment of being churched without any connection to Jesus Christ. If you have church without Jesus, you have nothing. Okay, I mean, it's a social program at best to you without Jesus, because you lack the spiritual insight to benefit from the things that are beneficial from the church. It's just you're standing around the well, but you can't drink the water, okay, because you haven't first drank of the Lord Jesus Christ. But some people still say, well, I know my heart. Well, do you really? Well, the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? And if we're saved, we're only going to be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ through faith. But Jesus has to be and needs to be the shepherd of our souls. And I feel sorry for people who do not have a relationship with Jesus. That old song, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. You remember that song? I mean, if you don't have that kind of tender, loving, shepherding relationship, I just feel sorry for you. And I wouldn't dare say that that person is absolutely lost, but there might be a decent chance that they are. Because people that know the Lord Jesus Christ, like what I was just singing, they are quick to tell of their love for the Lord. I'd rather have Jesus than anything, as the song says, than anything. Silver, gold, any of it. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Him, silver, gold, riches untold. He alone can satisfy our soul. In John chapter 10, the Lord is pretty upset with leaders pretending to be shepherds of men's souls. And He's pretty fired off about all of this because, there's only one Lord, and it's not them. And they're pretending to be the Lord and the shepherd of other people's souls. But for thousands of years, men have been trying to make God like man and make man like God, and trying to get to God by human efforts, and that will always fail. It's always vanity. But that doesn't stop mankind from trying it nonetheless, because it feeds the ego, it feeds the pride of man and the pride of life. And so men just continue to make fools out of themselves and leading others to do the same. As much as God is offended by a person trying to gain His favor by human works, it's even more offending to God to try to get to heaven by human works, other than the best human to ever walk the planet. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, the Son of Man. Well, similitudes are taken from things which are common to people, at least during the time of the writing, taken to common to those that you can better understand what the Lord means. It's another way to communicate. We use a parable. We use similitudes. We use things as helps to try to convey. I was talking to the guys today. We use language, and some of us are better at it than others, obviously. But language still has its own limitations. But it's like I told the guys this afternoon, it's still better than grunting. You know, it's when we can speak audibly and we can make rational sense, that's better, though it's still limited, and language is even limited. But similitudes are taken and given to common people to understand supernatural things. And this chapter starts off here with verily, verily. Now again, that repetition. So it's saying this is really important stuff. This is really important subject matter. We need to make sure that we get this straight. And He says in verse 1, I say unto you. So who's speaking? Well, the Lord is speaking. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, He's not indicating that there's more than one way to get into the fold. All right? That's not the point of the passage. The point of the passage is if you try to get in any other way, you are a thief. You are a robber. Now, many times when our Lord would preach, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, who didn't believe in the resurrection, they were pretenders. Now, they were not people who were the atheists, the agnostic, the protesters of our day. You know, they're not that bunch. They were supposed the religious zealots of the land. But they were the pretenders. They were the pretenders at the same time to be the people of God. In other words, they wanted to be identified as the people of God, but that yet they were not. But they were hanging around. I won't say they were freeloaders, but they were really looking for a way to trap the Lord because they felt like He was a danger to their egos and their agendas and what they were seeking to do. All right? Sounds a little bit familiar these days, but on a much lower scale with Mr. Elon, you know. They were looking to try to get something that they could use against him. Sort of like the backslidden Baptist, of course, you're looking for reasons to get out of church. Well, if you're looking for a reason, you're going to find one. You know, even if you have to make one up, sooner or later, you know, you're going to find something that you can twist and use. But they are thieves and robbers here, and they were thieves and robbers of men's souls, and that's the problem. It's not, you know, stealing a piece of bubble gum out of a Jiffy store. It's stealing men and women's souls, and that's something that's going to last forever. But they were pretending to offer the way of life, but what they were offering was rather the way of death, not the way of life. There's always been industrious, wicked people and wicked leaders. And that's just as true today as it was back then. Yet our Lord said in John 14, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Luke said in 4:12, Acts, neither is there salvation in any other. That's really exclusive. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, it's sad to say that millions of professing believers think that they are saved by their good works. Now, I want to break that down into two categories, and I'd get my authority of that from Galatians chapter 1. There are people who have never been saved who think they are saved by their good works. There are people who are saved and then came to believe that they're saved by their good works, and they are yet saved. They are yet saved. But they have had a perversion placed upon them, just like what happened in the book of Galatians. But they had received the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and then came to believe something that's wrong. They did err, not knowing the scripture. And so there are plenty of people, I believe, you know, I was talking to, who was it? Oh, Shane's, Shalisa's dad. And we were talking about, you know, people saved in different churches, you know, and just kind of sentiments about that. And we were talking about the Roman Catholic Church. And you, listen, you can be saved and be attending any church. Now, there's some churches that may be a little less likely than others. I would agree with that. I wouldn't have a big problem with that. But you can have somebody that's sitting in an Assembly of God, a Catholic church, or, you know, a total Arminian church, and what they heard is, you repent of your sin. If you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And they respond to that with a childlike faith. And I'm here to tell you, at that very instant, they're saved. They're saved. And I don't know of any solid Baptist preacher who would say otherwise. Not one. Now, as much as we want people to be Baptist folk, and we do. But if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, anywhere, anytime, you're a child of the King. Now, but you could then be persuaded to leave that and be drawn into some other doctrine or teaching that is not correct according to God's Word. Now, but you don't lose your salvation. You'll probably lose that peace that passes understanding. Because if you think you have to maintain good works or you can lose your salvation by not going to church as often as you should, you're probably going to be more nervous than a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Now, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Now, grace is getting something we do not deserve. So nobody deserves to be saved. Not one person deserves to be saved. Now, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not long ago, of course, with Francisco illustrating, I usually try to, if I have any money in my wallet, which I don't tonight, but if I did, I'd take out a dollar bill, $5, $10, whatever I had. If I didn't have one, I'd do a five. If I'd do a five, I'd do a 10. You know, I've even done a 20. And illustrate the difference between a wage and a gift. If you go out, and I usually say, if I ask you to go out and wash my truck, you go out and wash my truck, and I'll pay you this $10 or whatever for washing the truck. But if I just offer this out, this is mine. It's mine. It's rightfully mine. But I'm offering this to you as a gift from me to you. Now, what do you have to do to receive it? Just take it. Receive it. And, you know, usually they, especially if they're a little older. Now, the young ones, they seem to be pretty eager to get it. You know, they reach out and grab it. But the older ones, you kind of think, well, wait a minute. I don't take the preacher's money, you know. And so they hesitate a little bit. But when they finally understand what I'm trying to do, they'll reach out. And so he did. And later I said, well, don't spend that all in one place after he gotten saved. And he said, oh, no, this is not going to ever be spent anywhere. He said, I'm going to frame this. And I've had a lot of people say that afterwards. And I said, if you're going to do that, go ahead and write on it. Ask the government for forgiveness later. Write on the top of that, salvation is a gift. Let this just be a memorial to you to remind you always for the rest of your life that salvation is a gift of God's grace. Amen? It is a gift. Now, as clearly as God said, he said it's a gift. Not a works lest any man should boast. Now, all those who teach that you will only be saved by good works are thieves. They're robbers. Because God wants that soul for himself. And they're keeping that soul away from what God wants. And when we do that, we become thieves and robbers. Now, in a lesser way, if we don't bring our children to the things of God, we are then likely thieves and robbers of God's message to them by not facilitating raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we have a responsibility of our children to do that. We have a responsibility to help other people know the way, the truth, and the life is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's our responsibility. And as I was hoping to impress upon you Sunday, I told Brother Rick, I said, I was really torn and really distracted. He said, it didn't sound like it. And I said, well, I don't know how it didn't, because it felt like up here every other thought I was having was about little Tater, you know, but I'm trying not to think about it, you know. And I'll tell you, it's a blessing to have that family web thing that you can app that you can go on, and most of the time you can see. I mean, I could just right now grab my phone and I could see that grandson. But I tell you, on the other hand, it's kind of a trap, you know, because you're looking too much, and there's life. One of the things around funerals that usually you have to say, or at least indicate, the living have to go on living, right? You have to go on living. You just can't get just so bogged down that you're no good to anybody. You still have things that need to be done. But all those who refuse the way of the Lord Jesus Christ here to be the exclusive way, the Lord himself calls them thieves and robbers. These are pretty strong, pretty strong. But actually, that's exactly what they are. Verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, to whom the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. He's the leader of leaders, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow. If you've been with the Lord, what's anybody else, right? But will flee from him, for they know not the voice of stranger. Stranger danger, stranger danger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things that were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he, singular, he, not they, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. So the one who provides life and that more abundantly, that's the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's not trying to extort the sheep. He gives his life for the sheep. Then verse 12. But he, contrary to that, giving his life, is a hireling. He's a hireling. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming. So they have their agenda. As long as everything's floating along, going their way, they'll claim to be this and they'll be the leader. But here comes the wolf. All of a sudden, wait a minute, that price is too high to pay. They're not willing to pay with their own life. They're willing to do maybe a little bit, maybe suffer just a little bit of hardship, but they're not willing to die for it. They're not willing to die for it. Remember that that Muslim that escaped Iraq and came over here, he was an electrical engineer, and I was helping him there for a while. And then I thought I lost the contact with him. And then two Thanksgivings in a row, not this last Thanksgiving, I didn't hear from him this last Thanksgiving, but two Thanksgivings in a row, he sent me a thank you and a God bless you for Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, Pastor, God bless you. Just out of the blue, out of the blue. Now he asked me, and he was a seeker, all right? He was a seeker, and I asked him, you know, I said, I need to ask you a very personal question. I don't want to offend you, but I'd like to ask you a personal question. And he agreed, and I asked him the question, was Muhammad a good man? Well, he didn't say so, but he shook his head. No, he wasn't a good man. So we're just trying to plant the seed and trying to do some watering there, but this is what he asked me in one of those several meetings that I had. He says, do you believe this? And I said, yes, I do. And so he's trying to dig into the validity, you know, question. Are you the real deal? And I said, but that's not what you really want to know, is it? He says, why? And I said, what you really want to know is, would I be willing to die for this? And he said, yes. Yes. You see, because he comes from a religion, a faith, if you want to put it that way, that if you're really devout, you're willing to die for it. And what he wants to know is, are you the real deal? Are you the real deal? Are you willing to die for this? And my answer, of course, is yes, I am. Yes, I am. And so it gives him some additional information to know you're not dealing with one of these who's just going to run off the first time he gets a bloody nose. Amen? All right. So where am I at? What verse? Oh, a hireling. He that is a hireling and not the shepherd whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. They don't care about that when it really comes down to it. The hireling fleeth because what? He is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So this, and maybe next Wednesday night, as the Lord leads, I'm going to do a little two-part here. But tonight I want to talk about this a little bit. Number one, that Christ is the only door. He's the only door. Now, in the immigration policies of the United States, they're vast. I get it. I don't control that. You don't control that. But I'll tell you, there is more religious thought coming into our country now than ever before. And all you've got to do to see it is go to Walmart. That's all you have to do. Just get around town and go shopping, and you'll see a great diversity of people. It's so much now. Used to, you know, when I'd go up to door, I could pretty much tell the religion, if they have any kind of religion, I could tell the religion of what they were by the paraphernalia that you'd see around on the doors. That's no longer the case. I mean, if you're going to do that, you better have your smartphone with you and start Googling things. I mean, it is getting where you just can't keep up with it all. There's so many variations of different religions around the world that are now coming to us. You don't have to go around the world to find the mission field anymore. It's all over us. Now, I'm not saying we should not go, by the way. I'm not saying that at all. Matter of fact, I'm pretty upset about the churches and the religious leaders of our day are basically saying none of us need to go. We just need to hire them out over there. In other words, we need to pay them to do our job. Well, that kind of gets me a little bit riled. I don't know about you, but all you're doing is disobeying what Christ said in the first place. But Christ is the only door. He says, I am the door. He's not a door. He's not a door. I remember arguing with one of our church members years ago, and he would say, well, don't you believe there are a lot of different ways that, you know, you could just take and eventually you come to the one place and, yeah, no, there's not a lot of different ways. I am the way, the way. I am the door. There's only one way and there's only one door. Just one, just one. Now, I think sometimes Christian people think it's mean to say there's just one way and one door. And that's the reason. I don't think they want to necessarily take issue with God's word. You know, I don't really think that's their motive. But I think they just want to, well, kind of like, you know. And but listen, if God says, I am the door, and I am the door, I am the only door, what is mean is lying to people. Lying to people, giving them hope where there is no hope. That's cruel. That's cruel. If there is an antidote for something, you don't want to pass on placebos. You want to pass on the actual antidote. So he's not a door. He's the door. He's the only door. And we've got to maintain that. People say, well, that's pretty narrow. Yes, it is. It's just as narrow as this book right here. There's no other door. And because we are confronted with so many people and now doing business and running into business with this one and that one, and this one's got 10,000 or 10 million that they're following, and this one over here has three, or this one over here has whichever potentate is now alive, and they pass on their essence of the deity to one after the other. I'm talking about the Sikhs. I want you to know, we have to maintain the order. We have to maintain the line. No, I'm sorry. No. There's only one door. There's only one way, right? There's only one. Now, I'm not saying be ugly about it, but I'm saying you've got to say it. Because it's cruel. Listen, it's cruel to sit in an office place and here's all these other people saying all of this is so and all of this is so and never pipe up and say, well, hold on a minute. The Bible actually says that Jesus is the door. The door. The only way, the truth, the light, the door. Jesus. And you don't have to say, well, I think, well, what you think in 2 cents is worth 2 cents. But what the Bible says is authoritative. And what the Bible says, all you need to say, now listen, Christian, all you need to say in witnessing is the Bible says, or the Word of God says, and if you don't do that, you're participating with the thieves. Because you're letting that go without countering it as salt and light. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to have party take part in all of that. You're not saying it, but by your silence, you're letting it run. Just don't say anything. Now listen, if somebody else in the office place can say he's not, I would think you could say he was. And if you got in trouble, the other person ought to get in trouble too. And if you lost your job, I wouldn't be surprised if God gave you a better job. Amen. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. So that takes the Muslims right off the table. Takes Muslims right off the table. Now you say, well, how likely is it that a Muslim could be saved? Not very likely at all. Not very likely at all. Much more likely that you'd have a Roman Catholic saved than a Muslim be saved. Much more likely. Especially in this day and hour that the Catholic Church is using so much of the semantics of Orthodox Christianity. They'll use language like salvation, born again. And if you go back a long time, you know the Catholic Church didn't talk like that years ago. You knock on a door and you say, I want to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you say, I'm Catholic? That's all they would say, I'm Catholic. Well, then here come one of their popes along, I think it was Paul, that wanted to change the language that the Roman Catholic Church used to deceive the Christians to make them think that we believe the same thing. Well, the Mormons have taken that and run with it as well. And they now want to claim that they're Christian. Well, they're not. There's nothing about them that's Christian. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Now, many religions and groups like the Sodomites weary themselves to find the door where none is found. Where none is found. If you want to find the door, you've got to find Jesus. You've got to get to His side. We must come to Jesus by the door, faith in Him. He is the mediator between God and man, and there is none other. You don't have an option. You don't have an option. I don't have an option. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So all others who claim to have another way to heaven are liars and thieves. Now you say, well, I'm not comfortable using that language. Well, just tell them Jesus said they were. If you don't have the muster, if you don't have the holy grunt in your grill, you know, to say what the Bible says clearly, just tell them that's what Jesus said. If that's what you have to do, pass the buck to Him, I'm sure His shoulders can handle it. And pray one day maybe you would get the muster and the holy backbone that you could say it yourself. And you just might find, by the way, on a side note, in your witness, that if you will go bold instead of just going home, you might find some other backslidden Christians in that group by you going bold who would say, well, I may not have said it just like that, but that's what I believe too. You see, they're being emboldened by your bold witness. They were maybe even cowards. They weren't going to say anything. And maybe last month you were not going to say anything. But all of a sudden you've prayed about this and you want to be a bolder witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And now you're willing to go downtown. But when you go downtown, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at all. You'll have this one and that one over there. They used to be in church and they know what's right. And they'll say, well, I wouldn't maybe said it just like that, but I believe Jesus is the way. And he's the only way. And then they'll kind of clam back up in their shell, you know. But hey, what you've just gotten is an amen by one of the redeemed. Maybe little mouth redeemed, but the redeemed nonetheless. You follow me? So you get an amen. You get an amen there. The Lord said himself, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. That's what I'm saying. If you just let that junk go out and let that deception go out and you don't offer a peep of resistance to it, how are you not guilty of what Jesus said right there? That if you're not gathering with me, you're scattering abroad. You're participating in the wrong team. Now, I'm not saying you're on the wrong team, but you're participating in the wrong team. It's sort of like we had, Bible colleges probably ought not to play soccer. They don't have enough skilled players in the first place. And I'll never forget, they got the pudgy boy, you know, and he's now pastor up north somewhere, I think. But he was going to play goalie. He's too chubby to run too much, so they made him play goalie. And he got his big old fat, large leg up. You know, he was going to kick the ball, coming to the goalie, you know, he's going to kick it, but he missed the ball. He missed the ball. Hand-eye coordination, foot coordination was not up to him. And so he went to kick the ball, missed the ball, and the ball rolled behind his foot, and he just dropped his old big leg like that and booted the ball right into the goal for the other team. And it doesn't matter if you kick it in the wrong goal or not. It still counts for the other team. It still can't, and everybody's like, you never live those kind of things down, you know. Sort of like the luscious hair comment. You're just never going to live that down. So number one, Christ is the only door. He's the only door. Number two, he's the one chief shepherd. He's the one chief shepherd. Look at verse 2. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Now, I think I can understand the distinct difference between the name Christ Jesus and Muhammad. That even sound the same. I know it's not the same. I know it's not the same. I think I can understand the difference between Smith and Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I think I can pick up the difference. I think I can recognize we're not talking about the same person. I know there's only one, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Philippians 2. Now, Matthew 7:15 says, beware of false prophets. Beware. Sometimes I think people of the South are far too gullible, Misty. I do. I think that we're far too gullible. People in the South think it's rude to reject almost anybody when we should be rejecting more. We should. We should be rejecting more. But we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, and so we just kind of pretend they're one of us when they're not. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. They're playing the game, and they know how to play the long game. They've been playing that long game far greater and longer than we've been playing our short game. But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. They will tear you up. But they come to us in sheep's clothing. They want to be identified as, well, we're fine Christian people. Really? Really? Well, 1 Peter 5:4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, chief shepherd, in 1 Peter 2:25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Now, we all have and should have relationships with teachers and mentors and spiritual leaders and all that, and that's all ordained of God. But there's only one great chief shepherd, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And his phone's never busy. He's never too tied up. I was dealing with someone last night and even today. I'm sorry to bother you. I'm sorry to bother you. And I said, well, that's par for the course. It's par for the course. But there's times not available or can't be reached. But that's never the case for the Lord Jesus Christ from his suffering saints. Never the case. He's the chief shepherd and bishop of our souls. If we enter into the one door with the one shepherd, we're going to have some things. Let me just go a couple of things here, letter A. We're going to have salvation. You want salvation? You have to go through that door. You're not going to find salvation any other way. You say, well, I don't really like that. I think that's kind of offensive to all the other different people groups and the religions around the world. I'm sorry. 2 + 2 = 4. A man is a man and a woman is a woman. You can't pretend to be the other and me say it is. Now, you can pretend to be the other, but I'm not going to say it is. I'm not going to tell a pervert that he's a woman when he's a perverted man. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to cause further problems, further confusion by facilitating his deception. All right? I'm just not going to be party to that. And I'm not going to be party to any heresy that I'm aware of. I'm not going to be a party to that. I want people to be saved. But you can have salvation if you go through the door. Letter B. If you have his salvation, you can also have satisfaction. All these others, eventually you're going to have what comes looks like a pseudo well, and it's going to, oh, that's so sweet, and the people are nice, you know. Now they all know my name. Well, you can get that down at the bar too. You remember the Cheers show? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. They're always glad you came. Well, you can find churches like that too. You can find churches like that too. But that doesn't mean that's the way of salvation. That doesn't mean that that's the type of church you need to be a part of. But they'll know your name. They'll suck you in. Probably they'll suck you dry, but they'll suck you in. But if you want satisfaction, you've got to go to the one who can satisfy your soul. And there's only one source for that. There's only one. At the end of the day, I'm all about human compassion and love and tenderness. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank God for it. Life sure would be worse without it. But at the end of the day, there's only one. There's only one who can satisfy your soul. As you know, trying to help and minister even to my son. I encourage him, you know, if you're anything like me, you don't heal best around a lot of people. I'm like that old dog. I just want to run off somewhere, get under a car, you know, and let me get along with God. Let me cry it out, wail it out, you know, suck air out there away from everybody, and I'll be back. That's just how I am. Now, other people are different. That's fine. But it's hard to get away. It's hard to get away when your family, the urgent need and everything, when you need to heal yourself. You know, you need to try to survive yourself. It's hard. It's very hard. So I encourage you, wherever you can, get away. I mean, if it's just a short period of time, get away, get alone, get with God. Pour your heart out to God. Scream, yell, pray, whatever you've got to do. Get it out and give it to God. Then you can find, when you get through with all the crying, you get all the snot wiped away and you get it all gone, you go wash your face and get cleaned back up, you'll have that breath. Satisfaction. Only he can satisfy your soul. At the end of the day, I don't have any other message for you. But he can satisfy you. He'll satisfy you. You say, how can you be satisfied in such a harsh place? Well, I don't really know the entirety of that answer. But I know with Jesus, it's possible. I can't tell you all the whys and wherefores. I can't fully explain that. But I'll tell you, if we'll crawl to the foot of the cross and stay there and look up to the Lord long enough, he'll heal us and give us satisfaction. He'll heal you. And you'll come out better on the backside than you went in on the front side. All right? I told the church up there in Russellville. And I said, listen. He doesn't come from a family of quitters. And she don't either. They'll get through this. I promise you, they will get through this. And they'll be the better for it. And if you'll stick with them, so will you. So will you. I guarantee it, so will you, if you'll stick with them. For they conveyed to me their great love and loyalty to one of your own, my own, our own, and I believe they'll do just that. There's all satisfaction. Let her see. There's abundant life. I like abundant life. I like, I like having a little bit of treats. The other day, I kind of know the signs. Now, if it's around a service, I don't always know who it is. I don't always know who it is. But I know the signs of different ones, you know, when Kaysen will sneak in or Sydney will sneak in. And the other day, Brother Gabe asked me, he said, do you want some, let's see, what was it, some kind of a crazy chicken. Let's see, what was that kind of stuff they made? It's kind of weird because it was Indian rice. It didn't look like rice, but it was rice. At least they said it was rice. And the, Korean chicken over some kind of a Indian, not America, Indian, but Indian overseas, you know, India. Was it that funny? Okay, well, I know how to make the difference, you know, just going off seat of my pants. You know, but it was different. It was different, but it was tasty. So Brother Gabe brought that over, but that was his touch. He actually does the meal preps and all that. He's really disciplined about all that stuff. But along with that was a little plastic baggie, and inside of that baggie was some chocolate chip, little miniature chocolate chip cookies. Well, I know who's got that. That has a name all over that, and that's not Brother Gabe. That's Miss Sydney, because she knows I like their chocolate chip cookies, and she just did it. I'm all for that. That's such a blessing. It is. It is a blessing. Just the little things, you know? Just the little things. But I know this. At the end of the day, there's only one that can completely satisfy you. And that's Jesus Christ. Abundant, abundant, abundant life. Not only that, eternal life. Eternal life. In verse 26, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I love the direct nature that the clarity that the Lord Jesus Christ preached in. I love that. I respond to that. I can respect that. I don't care for politicalese, you know, political speech. Most of that, I don't care for at all. And I don't care what side of the aisle it comes from. You know, I don't know that anybody that was that honest would probably even be elected in this environment. You know, and I understand. I understand where we're at. But I'm just not a fan of it. I'm just the old fan of believe what you believe and say what you believe and don't be such a coward that you're not going to say it. You know, why can't we just let her yea be yea and her nay be nay? Well, he spoke clearly about eternal life. He says that I give unto them eternal life, and they, those who receive that gift, shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's almost like throwing it down. It's almost like a dare. You want to go for it. No man is going to pluck any of mine out of my hand. Period. Well, it's a great assurance. I mean, listen, he's the shepherd of our soul, but he's not some weak-kneed, bent-backed, willy noodle of a man. He's the creator God. And he says, no one is going to take you from me. So what did he say? He uses his hand as an analogy, but no one's going to take them out of my hand. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So while on earth, we are not our own. The chief shepherd provides. Let me give you one more, and then I'm going to close. Letter E. He gives us protection and care. Now, if you think about a shepherd, you should naturally think about protection, right? Like David, protection of his daddy's sheep. But care as well. Now, sometimes shepherds have to be a little firm. Matter of fact, often they have to be firm. Come here, little sheep. Well, might be a little bit more tender with a little one, but probably quite a bit tougher with a bigger one, especially that stubborn one. Amen? Don't you think they would have to be? You bet. Protection and care. Look at verse 11 and 12. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 36, you see the condemnation of hirelings. And the contrast here is Jesus is not a hireling. He's our help. He's our stay. He's our refuge. He's our protection. He's our care. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. But not only that, you have all the medicine that I need. You have either he's all I need or not. He has all that I need in his protection and his care. He's not a hireling. I read a book years ago, Warrior Shepherd. You know, we think of shepherd, we can think of, well, just a little tender person, you know, and they're just, come here, little sheep. No, he's the warrior shepherd. If you think David was tough, consider the Lord Jesus Christ. See him running the money changers out of the father's house with a whip. And that's about the best image that I could offer to you that you would understand. He's the warrior shepherd. In other words, if you need salve, he can take care of that. If you need a whooping, he can take care of that. And if the enemy is coming after you and you need the warrior, he can take care of that too. I told my story the other day, and I said, be careful about taking up, you know, anything against someone else, because we have Christ as our defender. We have Christ as our protector. You don't always have to, you know, protect yourself and all of that when you have Christ as your protector. Somebody says, well, you're going to be hurt more. Maybe so, but I'll also be helped more. Think about it. I'll also be helped more. Because who runs to your defense? The Lord does. He's your protector. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ sitting in your living room, all right? And all of a sudden, somebody shows up on your front lawn. They entice you to come outside of a night. You can't see too good. You don't know exactly what they're up to, but it doesn't pass the smell test. But you go out there, and the next thing you know, you're engaged in a way that you'd rather not be engaged. You would have rather have stayed in the house. You follow me? Now, all of a sudden, stuff starts happening out there in that front lawn. Now, trouble is present. How in the world could you imagine that Jesus Christ would stay on the couch in the living room and not come to your aid? Do you have a God? I don't have a God like that. We don't have a Lord like that. He is our protector. And if somebody comes after his, he's going to protect him. And he's going to come to your aid. And he's going to help you. So many times in business, you know, you're in business, you say, well, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and what do you mean? You just got to act like a dog? No, you continue to be a saint. And if the dogs need to be sicked on them, let it be the Lord taking care of all of that. He'll do a far better job of it anyway than we will. But I think sometimes Christian people think that, well, I'm just going to be destroyed. I'm going to be destroyed. Wait a minute. You're not alone. The Lord said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You don't have a ball bat as big as the Lord. You don't have a pistola as big as the Lord. He's more than capable of protecting his own. And we just need to learn how to trust him and expect when that time comes, the door is going to fly open and he's coming to the rescue. That's our Lord. Right? That's our Lord. All right. I've got to stop there because I am a long ways from finishing this number one.